So, today, another, as you will see, another sermon in the book of Exodus. And the title of this morning's message is Problems and Solutions. Problems and Solutions. Now, we're going to talk specifically about a problem in leadership, but I think there's more to take away from it than just that. So, it's a question, Wood. Who here has problems? Anybody? Anybody? Who has problems that you don't have solutions to right now? Everybody? Who here thinks they have problems but they don't know they have a problem? Who here might have a weakness but might not realize they have a weakness? How many of you have had problems and solutions have come from unlikely resources or sources? We pray, and we pray to the Lord, and he sends this person or this thing or that thing to take care of that. Oftentimes, I think that we have weaknesses or problems in our life that we aren't aware of, and so we're not necessarily praying for a solution, but God gently sends somebody to say, you know what? You kind of have a problem here. You kind of got a weakness here, and I want to help you with a solution. So that's kind of where we are at this morning. Now, this, as I said, is going to be more directly related to leadership, but I think that we can all take something from it. And so if you are would consider yourself a micromanager of sorts, this message might be a little hard to hear this morning. But it's probably a message that you need to hear this morning. There's some tough truths in this. It touches on one of the most fundamental pitfalls, I think, in good leadership. Now, last week we talked about Moses, and one of the fundamental ways he failed near the end was his disobedience to God. He struck a rock twice when he was simply supposed to speak to the rock, and it kept him out of the promised land. And so this morning we find ourselves, or we find Moses, facing another problem in his leadership. And as I said, it's one of the fundamental pitfalls in good quality leadership. Proverbs 6:6 says this: go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. What in the world does that mean? Well, apparently the writer of this text figured that the sluggard could learn a lot of wisdom from ants. Okay? So what do we know about ants? Well, in your typical garden variety ant colony, there are basically three different types of ants. You have the queen, who lays the eggs, which ensures the future of the colony, right? And then you have the male who comes along and fertilizes the eggs, and they do little else. But they are still an essential part of the growth of the colony, of course. And then you have the worker ants, and they are responsible for food finding, carrying the nest. They are kind of co-keepers and nurses to each other. Each has a job to do. Each of them do it exactly as they ought, and the colonies thrive. And so I think that's a good lesson that the writer of the book of Proverbs, or this particular text, was getting at. You would do well to learn how ants work together, how each understands their own job, and how they perform it well that allows the colonies to survive. Ants are wise. They are organized, and they, most importantly, divide their work. Are you understanding that? They divide their work. Each has a function to perform, and they perform it well. And I'm here to tell you, when people function in the same manner, in the same way, we too can be just as productive. I mean, have you ever seen the way ants work? If you ever took the time in an anthill, and then if you see an anthill get wiped out, how busy they are getting it back together. It's quite incredible, actually, to watch. It's really kind of a thing of beauty, if you will. And people performing the same way is also a thing of people. Different people performing different tasks, each doing the job they were best suited to perform, coordinated efforts toward a common goal. I mean, that is a thing of beauty. And I would venture to guess that any good school, any good organization, any good business, any good family, any good church, any good organization of any type that's thriving functions probably this way. Many people knowing and understanding their responsibilities and performing them well. Here's the unfortunate part. For many families, for many churches, for many schools, for many businesses, or whatever the case may be, this does not reflect, they don't reflect the image that we're talking about here. And they struggle and or they fail, or at the very least, they fail to thrive because these principles are not put in place. In our text this morning, we will see the importance of that kind of effect for God's people. Our text today is Exodus chapter 18. And in this text, or in this chapter, we find that the people have now exited Egypt. They have not yet been to Mount Sinai. And so we're finding ourselves in Exodus, and we're going to kind of look through the whole 18th chapter. I'm not going to read every verse. But in verses 1 through 12, we see where Moses had sent his family to live with his father-in-law. Okay? So the father-in-law, Jethro, was keeping watch over his wife and his kids. And it came time, at such a time, when Jethro was going to return or bring the family back to Moses. Okay, that's kind of where we are. And what's about to happen is Jethro is about to identify a core problem regarding Moses' leadership. And that's why I want to start reading in verse 13. The very first thing that I want to talk about this morning is the nature of Moses' problem. The nature of the problem that Jethro was just about to point out. And we'll start in verse 13. It says, "The next day as Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him." So think about that. Moses, the leader of the people, his time was tied up from morning to evening while people gathered around him. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is it that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses answered him, "Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decree and laws," or God's will. And then in verse 17, this is what Jethro says. He says, "Moses, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." You cannot do it alone. The core fundamental problem that Moses had in his leadership in this text is he thought that he was indispensable. How many of you at times have felt like you were indispensable? Well, I can tell you from being in leadership in multiple levels, from camps to churches to retail businesses to ministry groups and everywhere in between, not one of you or me is indispensable. We're not. You hear it all the time in professional sports even. Somebody gets hurt, and it's one of the core players. And what does the coach say? The mentality is the next man up. Somebody goes down, this man is the next in line. He's got to step up, and he's got to perform. It's the next man up mentality. And we don't have that mentality. We have this mentality that I am indispensable. And if I'm not here, there is nobody else here that can do what I do. The core pitfall of leadership is this mentality of unless I do it, it won't be done. We've said that. Probably many of you have said that or continue to say it. You know what? If I don't do it, it's going to be done. But the core ingredient to positive leadership says this, train people how to do it, and the job will always be done. So we have this mentality that if I don't do it, it'll never be done, when the mentality we should have is train people around us to do it, and then we don't have to worry about doing it. It will automatically be done. Only that's not where we head a lot of times. Moses had a keen sense of responsibility, and that's a great quality to have. That's a great trait to have as a leader, to have this sense of responsibility of making sure things get done. But there's more than one way to make sure that things get done other than just doing it yourself. It's a good thing to have that mentality, but it is expressed itself in total control. Moses had his finger on absolutely everything that moved. Everything that took place, Moses had his fingerprint on. That is unhealthy. But yet, it is still a common view for leaders. And here's the other problem. It's a common expectation of leaders. So it's a common view for leaders to want to have their hand on everything. And unfortunately, it's a common view for people in the business, people in the church, to think or have the expectation that the leader should have their hand in everything. And it's not healthy for the leaders, and it's not healthy for the people. This style of leadership that Moses was leading under was wrong for basically three reasons. And the first thing is this. Moses was doing himself and his family a major disservice. Moses was burning himself out. Have you ever done that to yourself? Have you ever known anybody that has? Have you ever been a part of a group where the leadership has done that, burned themselves out, and all of a sudden the organization begins to feel the effects? Moses was doing himself and his family wrong. That's not considering what it was doing to the organization itself, but what it does to you personally and what it does to your family. The text in verse 13 says, morning till evening. Morning till evening. So from sunrise to sunset, Moses had people around him asking him. There was expectations on him morning to evening. How can you possibly lead well under those kind of circumstances? Verse 18 says, his father-in-law said, you will surely wear yourself out. Moses was neglecting his family. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If your leadership is at the expense of your family, then it's poor leadership. If your family is not doing well because of your so-called leadership, then you are not leading well. And that's what Moses was doing. He was neglecting his family. It's not good leadership. He had already sent them to Jethro. We saw, if we read up in chapter or verse 2, he had already sent his family to Jethro. It was not his family, his father-in-law's responsibility to look after his family. It was his responsibility. But because he had to have his hand on everything, he had to have somebody else take care of his family. That was his responsibility, just like it's our responsibility to take care of our families. It's okay to have help. Scripture says it takes a village, right? So it's okay to have help, but it's still your responsibility. And Moses was so in tune to his leadership that it was becoming at the expense of his family. He had to send him off to his father-in-law. And then in chapters 5 and 6, it says that Jethro was bringing them back to camp. The second thing that Moses was doing, or why this was a problem, is it was doing the people of God a disservice. It was doing the people of God a disservice. Not only was he wearing himself out, but also people. As I said, anything that moved, any decision that had to be made, had to go through Moses. And I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of churches that function under that same mentality, and it's really crippling to ministry. Man, I remember being in youth ministry, and I remember an opportunity, I won't go into specifics, for a youth event or something to do for a youth, and going to the pastor and saying, I'd really like to do this for the youth. And the pastor say, well, we have a board meeting in 2 weeks, and then I'll bring it up to the board, and if the board approves it, I'll let you know. And then in 3 weeks later, the pastor comes up and he says, I got great news. The board has approved you'd be able to do that. And I said, well, that event was last week. Sorry. Or it's too late. But that's what happens when everything has to go through a board and people are not empowered to work or to do their job. Anything that moved had to go through Moses. You know what this does? This stifles initiative, and it breeds resentment. Because guess what happened to me? I started to become resentful. Not necessarily resentful to the board, but resentful to a model, to a structure. It was a poor structure. It stifled initiative, and it breeded resentment, and that's what it does. See, the deception is if I want it done right, then I have to do it myself. The truth is, if I do everything myself, then no one will take the initiative to do it. The best way to get things done is to just quit doing them yourself and see who will step up and begin to do them. He was doing a disservice to his family. He was doing a disservice to the people in this style of leadership. And the third thing that... the reason why this was a poor style of leadership is because this kind of leadership cheats those in our camp who may have been given the ability to serve. The abilities of others were lying dormant because nobody was called upon to do anything because Moses was doing it all. And so there's people in that camp that had gifts, that had capabilities, that had talents, and they were lying dormant because they didn't have the opportunity to use them. When people feel like they have a gift to offer, but it's stifled in the name of leadership, it is very, very frustrating. But when you have people in your camp that feel like they're gifted to do something and never have the opportunity to do it because of leadership, it's very, very frustrating. Here's what was happening. Israel was not benefiting at all from what others might have had to offer. See, I'm pretty sure that God gives each of us gifts and that God gives each of us talents. And the reason I know that is because Scripture says so. So you have all these people that Moses was leading that God had given gifts to, and they weren't allowed to use any of them. And I would venture to say that some of them were probably more gifted at doing it than doing some of the things than Moses was. But Israel was not benefiting from what others had to offer. So Jethro identified a problem. And he says, Moses, this is not good. This is not good that you are mourning till noon. This is not good that your hand is on everything. This is not good that you have to do it all. But this is the cool thing about Jethro. How many of you had somebody come to you with a problem, but then never offer a solution? That drives me crazy. Because then all really to me is it's just whining, right? If you want to come with me with a problem, then why don't you have some solutions that we can talk about? And that's the cool thing about Jethro. He did. He came to Moses with a problem, and then he has kind of some solutions that he suggests. So let's get back to the reading here, and starting in verse 19, this is what it says. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be people's representative before God and bring their disputes to them. This is the part I want you to get, though. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. Keep in mind that Moses was not really asking for any advice. He wasn't saying, look, I got a problem, father-in-law. You got some advice for me? Because I think, as I said, Moses didn't even realize that he had a problem. So Jethro is identifying a problem, and he's offering advice even when Moses wasn't asking for it. And now this is where Moses does show one of his core leadership qualities. And the core leadership qualities is being open to the advice when somebody comes to you when you didn't even ask for it. Jethro found a problem or identified a problem, and he came up with a solution. And Moses was humble enough to say, hey, you might be onto something there. So I don't want to pick on Moses too much, because we've identified some fundamental pitfalls in leadership, but now we see a good quality in leadership. Listen to me now, and I will give you some advice. Okay, and verse 20. Teach them the decrees and the laws. Wow. How about that? Why don't you teach them? Why don't you train them? And show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all the people will go home satisfied. Verse 24. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. The solution that Jethro had for Moses was called for shared responsibility. He said, Moses, instead of doing this all yourself, bring the people together, teach them, show them, train them. Give this guy leadership over this thousand. Give this guy leadership over these 10 people. Do this and do that and delegate. And guess what happened? Moses got some relief. He wasn't as tired. All of a sudden, Moses had time for his family. Amazing. And guess what else? Then some of the people got the attention they actually deserved. And they got some of the attention they were actually desiring. And they started feeling better about themselves. They started feeling like they had something to contribute. They started feeling like, hey, I have a gift. And I'm able to use it. It's not being stifled anymore. And leaders would emerge and be given valuable experience. Let me tell you something about a good leader. A good leader is always identifying and raising up good leaders. If you are a leader and you're not identifying, raising up new leaders, you are not a good leader. But Moses was not doing this. Moses wasn't looking out and identifying people who could share the load, who he might trust to do this. And then he just decided it was easier to do it all. And you know what? It is easier to do it all for a week or 2 weeks or a month. But it is not easier to do it all. It's not sustainable for anyone. Delegation allows for greater involvement. Verse 22 said, they will share it with you. Now, likely Joshua and Caleb were among those selected as some of Moses' leaders. See, sharing responsibility allowed Moses to do what he did best, to lead. That's what God called Moses to do. He called Moses to be a leader. He didn't call Moses to be a servant. And you can't be a good leader if you're spending all of your time serving and doing everything. Because when you're doing everything, you're not spending time leading. Now understand this, that a great leader will always be willing to do the work when it's urgent. So I'm not suggesting that a leader doesn't do the work. A good leader needs to be willing to do the work, but that's not where a leader should spend most of his time. Leaders must distinguish between urgent and important. Not everything that's important is necessarily urgent. This new structure, this new leadership style that Moses embraced called for responsibility to be given to qualified people. The text calls out some special qualifications. We see other qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But it says, make sure there are people that are capable. In other words, they have the ability. Make sure that there are people who fear God, so they're spiritual. Make sure they're people who are trustworthy, so they're honest, they have integrity. And then we saw it here, make sure there are people who hate dishonest gain and are not gain and are not driven by money. See, understanding the core pitfall of leadership can lead to the second pitfall of leadership. See, understanding the need to delegate responsibility overcomes one of the pitfalls of leadership, but if we're not careful, then we can fall into the second pitfall, and that's delegating to those who are not qualified. So that's the other thing that can happen. When we fail at the first one, and we are so overwhelmed and feeling like we can't do it anymore, and we need people to step up, then we become desperate, and then we just give jobs to anybody, even if they aren't capable of it. And that doesn't solve anything either. That just creates more problems. So we have to delegate. We have to be willing to let go of things, but we have to make sure that the people that we're giving them to are qualified to do it. They're God-fearing people who are trustworthy and people of integrity. It's called freedom in support of those chosen. Jethro said, let them judge the people. Let them do it. Responsibility given and authority to make decisions. See, Jethro was suggesting that Moses not only give away that responsibility, but then he was also suggesting that he give them authority. Because you know, there's nothing more frustrating than being given responsibility, but not being given any authority. That's frustrating. I want you to be responsible for this, but I'm not giving you any authority to make a decision to do this or that. That's very, very frustrating. Men chosen and supported, help available if they needed it. Hard decisions, it says, could be brought to Moses. So it's not saying, look, I'm setting you up for failure. It's saying, look, for the day-to-day things, for the simple things, I am empowering you, I am giving you the responsibility, and I am giving you the authority to make decisions in these day-to-day things. I don't need to have my hand in it. I don't want to have my hand in it. I don't have time to have my hand in it. I will burn myself out, I'll burn my family out, and I'll burn out the organization if I do that. But, I'm here if you need me. That's the other quality of good leadership. I'm empowering you, but it doesn't mean I'm alienating you. It doesn't mean that I'm walking away from you. It means I'm giving you the responsibility and the authority, but I'm still going to be here if you need me when things get a little bit rough. Or as the text said, when the decisions are hard, then yeah, come back to me and we'll work it out. Easier decisions made without Moses second guessing it. It's delegating, it's empowering, it's giving responsibility, and it's giving authority. And when a good leader does that, the organizations flourish. But I just want to make sure that we understand this part. When God sends somebody to you to point out a weakness or to point out a problem that you might have, that you do as Moses did and graciously and lovingly accept it as from the Lord. That's what Moses did. He said, you know what? That's not an easy thing for you. When somebody comes up to you, especially your father-in-law, when your father-in-law says, what you're doing is not a good thing, that's not easy to hear. But Moses says, you know what? I'm going to take it as from the Lord. I'm going to take it as though the Lord sent you to point this out to me. And we need to be humble enough to do the same. When somebody comes alongside you and says, you know what? I've been observing. I've been watching. Not necessarily just in leadership, but just in how you conduct yourself and how you do this and how you are this way at work or how you do that or how you talk to people. You know, I've noticed this. Maybe you could try this. It's having the humility to see that as saying, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. You're right. That's something I need to work on. And then just doing it. In other words, leaders, and not just leaders, but every single one of us must consistently be sensitive to the will of God. Because oftentimes, God's will is put into practice through other people. God speaks to us oftentimes by sending others to our path. And in this case, it was God sending Jethro to his son-in-law, Moses, saying, hey, we got a problem here. Here's a way to solve it. And if you do this, look what's going to happen. You're going to have more time for your family. You're going to have more time for yourself. People are going to feel empowered. People are going to feel better about themselves. The organization is not going to be burned out, and we are going to thrive. I'll just conclude with this. Moses exhibited the qualities of a great leader. He really did. A good leader will consider his limitations. A good leader will take advice from others and use it. My brother-in-law. Do not share this story with anybody. My brother-in-law grew up in Detroit, okay? He didn't know a thing about hunting. He didn't know a thing about fishing. Well, he happened to marry into a very much a hunting and fishing family. And he was interested in wanting to learn more and to do more. And he would drive me crazy, though, because he'd come and say, hey, I want to buy a new pair of waders. What should I do? What kind should I get? You know. But he was also very frugal. Or, I need a new fishing pole. What should I get? Where should I go? And I'd give him all the advice. And then we'd go on a fishing trip, and he would have the exact opposite pair of waders and the exact opposite fishing pole, and the fishing pole would break on day one of the trip. And I'd be like, okay, why again did you ask for my advice? Because you had obviously no intention of following it. A good leader will not only hear advice, but will take the advice. A good leader realizes that some work is more important than others. And a good leader will still have plenty to do even after the work has been shared. Man, if a leader says, well, if I give this and this and this away, I'll have nothing more to do myself, that's a sign of a bad leader. Because there's always work to be done. No matter how much you give away, there's always work to be done. Maybe you're in a position of leadership. Maybe you've been in a position of leadership. Maybe someday you will be in a position of leadership. Maybe you won't. But someday you will also work, if you're not a leader, you'll work for a leader. You'll be under the direction of a leadership. If you have the opportunity to be a leader, delegate. Delegate. Don't try and do it all on your own. You'll burn yourself out. But also, in an organization, don't be afraid to go to the leader and say, look, I think you're doing too much. You know what? I have this gift. I think, depending on the organization, might not want to say, I believe God's given me this gift. But you know what? I believe I have the gift of this. Maybe I could help you do that. You know what? I've seen that you're struggling over here and you're not having enough time to do this. Maybe you could train me to do that. Man, I'm telling you, as a leader, if I had somebody come up to me and say, look, it seems like you're having a hard time getting this done. Can you train me to do that so I can do it for you? Man, that would make an organization thrive, right? And then, again, I'll just close with the point for all of us is to be sensitive to those that God puts in our path, to take advice and take it humbly. Let's pray. Lord, we, again, thank you for your word. We thank you for Moses. We thank you for the leadership qualities that he has had, that he displayed. Lord, we thank you for his father-in-law Jethro, who came alongside him and gently said to him, Moses, this is not good what you are doing. Lord, I pray that each of us would follow the lead of Moses when he heard the advice and took the advice and put the advice into practice. And then we see what happened. Things began to turn around and people felt valued. And people felt like they were not stifled any longer. Lord, I pray that that same concept is true in our families. Lord, I pray that that concept is true in our churches. And I pray that that concept is true in this church.